Only if you're ready, 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 ready. Let's go.
So on Divine Enigma today, we have an amazing woman. She's the founder of Verisalt, project management, edtech and consulting company. And she's come on Divine Enigma to talk us a bit more about project management, how to get into project management, how to be a better project manager, and yeah, a bit of history about herself and how she got into project management. So Agogo, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for your time to come onto the show. I know you are a super busy lady and I appreciate your time. So I'm so glad we're meeting up. We've been trying to meet up for such a while. And actually what I really liked about Agogo was the fact that I saw her YouTube channel. So if you go onto YouTube and put Agogo Johnson, she's there. She is amazing. Her channel is amazing. Please subscribe to it. I'm going to tell you because I think it's an amazing channel. But yeah, Agogo, thank you for coming to the show.
Thank you for having me, Sarah. It's great to be here. And thanks for the introduction.
You're welcome. So Agogo, tell us a little bit about your journey within the project management sector, how you got into project management. Yeah, just talk us through that. The audience members would love to know more about it because many of them are interested in getting into project management.
Okay, so how did Ogaga get into project management? Okay, so I started my project management journey in 2015. Before then, I'd gone to university, did electrical and electronics engineering as my bachelor's in engineering, and then I went on to do my master's in sustainable energy systems. So you understand, like right after school, you know, my mind is on, okay, sustainable energy specialist, you know, after doing a master's in it and all. I remember getting a job as a sustainable energy specialist within the housing sector, you know, just basically for different projects within that sector, mm-hmm. and helping to just know how to construct the house, you know, review it to see, you know, which way we'll make it more sustainable in terms of like utilizing the sun and stuff like that. Ah, gosh, I was bored. Oh my days, I was so bored. And then I literally left the job because it was so boring for me. I found myself sleeping. And that's not like me. So I left the job and I remember praying and I'm like, God, I just finished school. My pops just spent how many thousands of pounds, you know, for this school. So what am I to do? And I remember being just led to a course on project management online and I used like my last savings to literally get that course. But I was like, okay, let's do it. Let's just get it. And after getting the course, I read about project management. It's so interesting. And I'm like, wow, you know, I do this regularly. I do this on a daily basis. I organize, you know, youth conferences, youth development sessions. And it's so interesting. And then, fast forward to 2015, I went for a job interview as a sustainable energy specialist again. But as I was there, the person was like, oh, we're looking for a project coordinator. And I felt like, you know what, why did I even come for a sustainable energy specialist? When I should just come for project coordinator, since that's the line, right? That I was being led to. So then I immediately just said, oh, hi, I know I came for a sustainable energy specialist, but literally I'm transitioning to project management. So I'll be the right fit for the project coordinator role. So the founder of the organization said, talking to me, you know, interviewing me, asking me, just throwing different tough questions at me to see if I really know what this project management was about. But because I'd gone through that project management course earlier, I could answer all the questions. And when I was going through the course, I was applying it to stories and experiences I already had. So I was able to reply, you know, using, you know, the famous star method in the interview, telling them stories about, you know, how I'm able to pull out project management from my experience. And, you know, he was so impressed, you know, he was like, okay, you're in. And I got the job. And that's how my project management journey started. And since amazing. Then, it's been amazing, you know, in project management. I've worked in Nigeria, I've worked in the UK, working with teams all across Europe. I've worked in, you know, North America, Canada. It's been interesting, and it's been progressive as well. So, you know, even though I've worked in different countries because I've moved around a bit, I've not had to, you know, start from the bottom. When I went to any new country, I progressively gone from one stage to the next stage in each of these countries, right? Because project management is a global career. It's a global skill that is transferable. You can take it to any part of the world and it will still be relevant. And that's
tailoring. And
Nigeria is a living example of that fact. And it's been amazing. And now, you know, I love sharing knowledge. I love impacting knowledge. I love teaching. I love helping people succeed. And that's what led to, you know, the company that I founded, which is a, you know, project management, ed tech and consulting company, where we're just helping, you know, professionals to start a career in project management and also, you know, advance their career so they can build a thriving and successful career in project management. And, you know, alongside that, we are also helping startups, you know, and scale ups to launch their various product ideas, you know, using project management skills. So it's so amazing, you know, being led to project management and how it's become, you know, not just a career now, but also a business a venture for me. So yeah, that's a bit about it.
That's amazing. I love the fact that you talked about how the Holy Spirit and God led you into project management. And I love the fact that you talk about your faith actually affecting your career path. And then from that, you're going from, I want to be a project manager, from being a project manager to a business owner. And then not only being a business owner, you're then paving the way for others who also want to go into project management. So it's really amazing. And I absolutely love that. One of the things I want to ask as a fellow project management manager myself is, what are the challenges? I can tell you a few challenges that I face in project management. What are the main challenges that you face, particularly when it comes around to stakeholders and,
Yeah, I know, right? That's the main challenge. That's one of the biggest challenges with projects, stakeholders. And that's because, you know, projects are by people and you do projects for people, you know? Mm-hmm. And projects are done by people for people. So it's all about people. So that's why stakeholder management is one huge challenge in project management. You can't say, oh, I'm the best in stakeholder management. It's something you need to keep learning and evolving because there are different characters, there are different personalities. Culture affects how you handle a stakeholder. You want to, for example, you know, I said I've worked in different countries. The way I handle stakeholders in the UK, it's not the same way I'll handle stakeholders in Canada. It's not the same way I'll handle stakeholders in Nigeria, right? So you need to, as a project manager, that's one thing I've been learning in terms of stakeholder management and also communication because they are linked together, right? You need to know how to engage a particular stakeholder in what level, to what extent will be best for each person. So that's one huge challenge that you know project managers, including myself, we face on a daily basis. And I'll say one way to navigate that challenge is to build authentic relationships with your stakeholders, especially your team and whoever is the key stakeholder on your project. So when I say authentic relationship, it's truly care for people, because people have emotions, right? And that's where this whole emotional intelligence comes into play. If you really care for people, you really know about people, you'll be able to build authentic relationships with them, and that will help you to influence them on your project. Because stakeholder management is really influencing people to be on your side for your projects, literally. And if you build authentic relationships with people, you'll be able to influence them better.
That's so true. Can you, I've got two questions for you, Agaga. One of them is, can you give us a story for the audience about any difficult stakeholders that you've come across? You don't have to mention the company's name or the person's name, just a story around it. Could be anything you can think of. And the second question I have is kind of linked to that question is, how do you how do you work with cross-functional teams? So, for example, if you're working on a project, in your case, you talked about working on a project in Canada or working on like an international project, which means maybe you're working with stakeholders in Canada, in the UK, in the States, Nigeria, and they all have this input into one massive project that you might be working on. How do you kind of navigate the cross-functionality of different teams from different countries and different cultures? So yeah, those are the two questions. So the first, difficult stakeholder, second, cross-functional teams.
Yeah, so I would say one difficult stakeholder I had was working in a metrics environment, one of my roles. And basically, we needed this other division within the organization to do something as part of the project, not to help us, you know, successfully develop the project. And literally, they were like, oh, we already planned, you know, the projects we'll do in the year. We have a pipeline. And because of that, they wouldn't help out. And we need them literally, you know, to do this project. So it was a challenge because obviously you need to go it was a very large organization. So there's a lot of politics around it, right? within the organization, there are organizations as well, you know, like sub-companies, subsidiaries. So it meant that you had to negotiate with that company. And I didn't know that. I just thought, why is it supposed to mean tough? Like, just add this little project to it. Until I realized that, you know what? It's politics. Not because they can't add it, but they need negotiation because they want something for adding it. Because they are another, it's they're part of the organization, but that's how the organization works in terms of politics. So once I knew that, how I knew that was just listening, you know? Sometimes when your stakeholders are saying, there's some things they're not saying, but if you really listen, you get to know what they're actually saying that they're not saying.
That's so true.
So I'm listening to the quote and unquote excuses that they were given. I was going to say, do you know what? There's something else hidden underneath this, right? And I started asking questions. I found out that, okay, for them to do this, there's another project they wanted another department to do. So they wanted to do like a trade by barter kind of thing where, you know, oh, I do this for this person, you do this one, and then we get this benefit, right? So they wanted a bargain. So I reached out to, obviously, the people that can bargain because that was now above, so I had to escalate because that was now above my role. It had to be someone within the senior management, the board of directors. So reached out to them and within themselves, you know, now it's CEO to CEOs talking in within the organization, they were able to come to, you know, a bargain. And then that I got that stakeholder on my side and the project kicked off. So that was one difficult stakeholder. It took a while because, you know, no one was, I don't know why. Maybe people didn't really understand what was going on, but I was able to figure it out that, oh, this is just about negotiating. They want to do the project, but they want something else in return. So that was actually an interesting one for me.
Communication and listening is a real art and skill. Like, and I only learned this more as a project manager, like trying to, because the listening part and the communication comes in two parts. It's the listening and not just the speaking, but it's the listening part. If you don't listen, and the understanding of people's like behavior types, you know, finding what works for them, trying to adapt to their way of working to get what you need for them, and actually finding out exactly what it is in for them. Because a lot of the time when you're asking stakeholders to deliver on certain aspects or certain deliverables, that might just be something that they're doing in their like everyday job. It's not something they have to do all the time. So they may deprioritize it. And you're just like, oh, what's the project manager want now?
Exactly. You know, is the whole thing. Like, you need to know how to influence and what's in it. Knowing what's in it for them is actually key.
Yeah.
And also just understanding, why are you resistant to this? Like, try to understand, why don't you want to do this? Sometimes it could just be that the person has realized that if they do this, it might create more work for them and they're not ready for more work. Right? So just knowing what the issue is and why the resistance, understanding that why will help you, you know, as a project manager to know, okay, this is why they want it. So if I eliminate or reduce this challenge for them or this pain point, then they'll more likely be more cooperative or supportive of the project. That's what I've learned all through my career. Okay, you have another question, right? The cross-functional team.
Yes. Okay. So
I would say, when it comes to cross-functional teams, you know, there are different ways. So a cross-functional team could be working with, software developers, finance, HR, you know, people that have different audits, different skill sets. And then also you now talk about different countries as well. So you're talking about time zones and cultures that are different. So, when I was working, one of the companies I was working for, we were working with, on projects across, so we have operations teams, you know, all through Europe, in different countries in Europe, with the base in the UK. So within this organization, right, I had to work with a cross-functional team within the department, so different people, you know, different departments within operations in the team, and to deliver technology solutions within that department. So working with those team members, and there are different time zones as well. You know, Europe and UK have, you know, 1 hour.
Yeah, they've got different.
There's also time zone difference. And sometimes, you know, in that particular place in Europe, you know, they like their evening to themselves. And sometimes during summer, they have, what they call it now, is like half, they work till like noon, you know, during summer period. So they can have the rest of, or something like that, though. They're just
does some, that happen? You know,
different work cultures. I think whether it's summer or winter, we don't work to the end.
I think it happens in Spain or Portugal. I'm not too sure.
Exactly. Yeah. It does in Spain. Some of the people I was working with were in Spain, actually. So, they have this half day. So you need to understand that you can't book meetings at that time. They will not show up. Not because they don't want to show up, but they're just not going to show up because that's the culture they have, right? So as a project manager, you need to just, so one thing I had to do was understand the different cultures of the different teams, you know, what their working hours look like, and try to find the time. Obviously, sometimes you may not get all stakeholders in a meeting, but at least ensure that you have the key stakeholders for each meeting. So maybe this week, the key stakeholders are meant to be the people in accounting and the people in debt management. So I ensure that they're in for this. Maybe in 2 weeks' time, okay, I really need the people, the folks in cash management and the folks in, you know, IT, you know. So understanding who are the key stakeholders for the meetings, try and find time, a time when every single person, and I'm just narrowing to meetings because most times, you know, when you have people in cross-functional different countries, you can't meet in person. Mm-hmm. So anything you need to do has to be like meetings or emails. No, it's that's how you communicate. So that's why I'm focusing on meetings, because that's what you do most of the time. So you can collaborate effectively. So for meetings, find you know, at different meetings, different days, you may have different key stakeholders depending on what stage of the project, you know, what aspect or phase of the project you're discussing. So ensure that you understand the time zone, you understand the culture, if they're working, they're not working. And, you know, some people like their mornings, you know, to be focused on, you know, that's when they're most effective, to focus on work that they themselves can only do. So focus hours. Some people like their noon. Their noon is their lunch time. If you put meetings during the lunch time, they're not going to come. So understand these different things. And that's what I was doing. And then fixing meetings at appropriate times that even if everybody can't attend, at least the key people can attend. And then one other thing that was so important is sending out meeting minutes and actions after each meeting. So people that can't attend will know if there's any action that was assigned to them and what were the key things discussed in that meeting. And also even people that attend, you know, they have the actions as well, so that you can use that as a follow-up. Because one thing you need to, as a project manager, is constantly remind people of what to do and get, you know, track. So tracking, follow up on the actions, you know. Or sometimes I had someone, you know, was working with me as a project manager, you know, while I was working, you know, leading the project, right? So, you know, ensure that you're telling whoever is working with you or helping your project manager or your project coordinator or project assistant, or ensure you have meeting minutes and actions, follow up on them, you know, and stuff like that. So that's how I effectively work with people across the different time zones, and also in terms of just cross-functional team members in general. I hope that answered your question.
No, it answered it really, really well. Thank you. I've got two more questions to ask you, because I know that you've got other family commitments, but this is kind of leading to like the question I want to ask you. So the first one was, what is the highlight of your project management career to date at the moment? And the next question is, have you ever experienced project management burnout, or just that feeling of overwhelmment when you work within projects. I know as much as you love being a project manager, there must be highs and lows to a career. And I don't think there's a perfect job, but we can recognize there are going to be times that like, it's whoa, it's a lot. And sometimes there are going to be times where, yes, we're doing really well. So yeah, just those are the kind of questions I want to ask you. And yeah, that's it really. Yeah. and then we can kind of round up the show and talk. I might do a quick fire round with you before you go. So yeah.
Okay, so just a quick one. You wanted to know if I've experienced any burnout, you know, as a project manager. What else do you want to know? Just a quick overview.
And also the highlight, so one of the best moments of your project management career where you've seen it as a milestone in a sense.
Okay, so I will say highlight for me. It has to be around people. So highlight for me every single time is when I'm able to help, professionals that I'm connected with to either land a PM role or to advance their project management career. That's been the highlight for me. And one of the other highlights for me in terms of my project management career is just being able to talk to over 1,000 people at once during one of the conferences that I was, conducting a webinar for. And it was just great to be able to impact knowledge, project management knowledge to over 1,000 people at a time,
That's amazing.
And just help them to level up, in their project management career and get to the next level. I think that's
so
fulfilling, and helping others make progress gives me a lot of fulfillment because it's a life that matters, and to me that's my greatest achievement or highlight of my project management career, being able to impact lives. And burnout. So I would say that there are times when obviously you feel burnt out because of, different projects you're working on at a time, especially when you're working on multiple projects, right? And that was one of the reasons, I did a YouTube video recently is stress-free project management. That's what I titled it. And it's about managing multiple projects at a time without burning out. Because I was at a stage where I experienced burnout, right? As a project manager. Mm. And I came up with this, process of what to do, how to do, because sometimes, what was happening then, I was managing so many projects and it felt like my brain was on overdrive. Like I was trying to remember everything at once. So one of the things I tried to do was put them on paper or put them, type them out on my calendar, let them be outside. Know that, okay, don't try to remember. You're not going to forget. They're on your calendar. They're bookmarked. So you're not going to forget. That was one of the things I first had to do in my process. They're out of my mind. Get them out of my mind so that my mind is not trying to remember things and keep up with things. And then from there, say, getting more organized with things and setting out, scheduling some recurring meetings, for example, with people, doing the reporting, tracking. I would say that to know fully about my, 7-part process of stress-free project management, maybe, just reach out, just check on YouTube and watch that, and anyone listening, right, will be able to understand how to prevent burnout. But yes, I have done that. Actually, when I was managing multiple projects, it was stressful, but this 7-part process helped me to overcome that burnout and that challenge, I will say. So yeah, that's me.
I'm going to take a little break in between the podcasts, as we had a few interruptions during the Ogaga Johnson interview, my fellow project manager. But the interruption will be here to basically tell you about my coaching program. And I want to let you know that I'm planning to put together a 6-week coaching program for people who are neurodivergent and who are also neurotypical, who want to improve their career prospects in general, or for those who want to get into project management. I'm also offering my support to people who want to pass the PRINCE2 practitioner exam, as I've taken and failed a few times, but I've passed now. And I'm mostly moving on to Agile. So you might have heard a few of my podcast episodes showing that I'm organically studying for Agile project management. If this sounds interesting to you or you'd like to learn more about it, please reach out to me directly via my email, which is hello@divineenigma.org, or you can go to my Instagram, which is divineenigma, at Instagram handle, just to learn a bit more about it. And you can contact me about the program. I'm still working on my website, so I haven't put it in the description bar if you're looking on YouTube or in the show notes. But yes, this is just a quick interruption of the podcast to let you know about my coaching plan. Okay, let's get on to listening to the last part of the show. I wanted to ask you one more question, which was around your favorite project management methodology. Or maybe not your favorite, but what are the project management methodologies that you have used in the past in terms of working as a project manager? And what do you find, well, this is what I find anyway, but tell me what you find and I'll tell you what I find in terms of the project management methodologies that are being used across different businesses and organizations.
Well, I think I've used all the methodologies, like Waterfall, Agile, Hybrid. I've used them all in managing projects. And I don't think one is better than the other because I've used all. Mm. I think it depends on the project. The project determines if, you know, one methodology is better than the other. The only thing I will say is, yeah, lots of people like using Agile, especially when it's a project with a longer duration that can be done in iterations. Because you can easily get value quickly in iterations within, like, let's say 3 months rather than waiting for a year to release the product. You can go to market quicker, you know, within 3 months because it can be done in an iteration based manner. So that's what I'll say on that one. So I'm curious to know what's yours.
So I tend to use a mixture of Waterfall, Print2 and Agile, mostly Agile, but I think a lot of companies and organizations kind of mix the different methodologies. So some will use a little bit of Print2 and then they'll mix it with a bit of Waterfall and then Agile comes in the mix. So it's never like a consistent, like when you do the sort of theory of project management, nobody ever really follows it like completely, but they have a mix of it. I think probably Agile is the most popular at the moment because, like you said, people just want products or projects delivered in quick iterations and just put it out there, particularly if you're working on like software development projects or implementations of APIs or building of apps and websites and things like that. So I think generally across the board, from my experience, I find a lot of the methodologies are kind of mixed. They have like a little pick and mix, I would say. So do you find that as well? But yeah, that's what I find in terms of the methodologies. Before you go, I know you have to rush. Please, can you tell the listeners where they can find your details, how they can get in contact with you, and if they wanted to be coached to become a project manager, and then we will close the show.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So you can reach out to me via my website, www.ogagajohnson.com. When you go there, you find every, like, my social media handles. You'll be able to get access to contact me for anything. You'll be able to get access to work with me. So I added various ways to work with me, both free and paid ways to work with me. So I'll say the best way to get in contact with me will be my website, www.ogagajohnson.com. And I look forward to getting to meet anyone. I love meeting new people. So please reach out for anything.
And guys, watch her YouTube channel. It's amazing. Ogaga Johnson. So Ogaga, we have to love you and leave you. I'll let you head off because you've got to go and meet to your family commitments. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on to Divine Enigma today. Please follow me on all platforms where the podcasts are uploaded. Thank you for listening to Divine Enigma. And if you got to the end of the podcast, you're in a safe place for project managers and professionals to give you the tools and tips on how to navigate the complexity of being neurodiverse in the workplace. We'll see you soon. Thank you, Agoga.